Iman shines, our hearts take flight. It brings peace, love and light.
Faith and festivity. Faith and festivity.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Respected views of Madani Channel Eid Mubarak to you You're watching transmission Eid with Youth, Faith and Festivity. We welcome you in this program. We've got, Alhamdulillah, with us a youth today. We'll be talking to them with their experiences. What does Eid mean to them and to their communities? And the modern challenges regarding the modern way of celebrating Eid. And what should be the traditional and Islamic way of celebrating Eid? So much dynamic discussion you'll be watching. I would urge you to join us from start till end. But before we proceed towards our show, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama, Maulana, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Hafizahullah, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As we are presenting this program, we make this intention, inshallah, we'll do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which should be the foremost intention of every believer before performing any permissible task or any good deed. You can make this intention, you'll watch this program from start to end. Inshallah, you'll be learning so much regarding Islamic values, regarding deen as well as inshallah, you will learn different experiences. So you can be with us from start to end with focus, with concentration. Ask your family members, especially the youth, to come and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen and join us. Celebrate Eid with us today, inshallah azza wa jal. In my panel today, I've got brother Mahad Attari with me, alhamdulillah. Welcome to the program. I've got, mashallah, brother Sahul. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you doing, brother Sahul?
Alhamdulillah.
Eid Mubarak to you.
Khair Mubarak.
Welcome to this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brother Hanif. How are you doing? You okay?
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Eid Mubarak to you.
Eid Mubarak to you.
Welcome to this program. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, I've got brothers from various backgrounds as well as from different communities. They will be sharing their experiences. What does Eid mean to them? Brother Mahad, first of all, coming to you, that today we are celebrating Eid with youth. You, mashallah, young yourself. What does Eid actually mean to you?
SubhanAllah. Eid, you know, when, as a youngster growing up in the UK or in London, my family was in Pakistan, so Eid was just like another day for us.
Right.
Just, you know, okay, fine, we've fasted. We did have that, you know, some nice food is being cooked and, you know, sweet dishes are there. And it's slightly different as well. You go with your dad and you pray Eid Salah. But then it's just, you know, it was normally like the same. I think many people will agree with me who are from, you know, different countries. But as I've grown older, I've realized, you know, Eid actually doesn't only mean food.
Right.
It doesn't only mean sweet dishes. It doesn't only mean just family. Why am I celebrating Eid? You know, this question began to arise in my mind. And then that question was answered, alhamdulillah, that Eid is a day where I can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a day where Allah forgives so many Muslims. It's a day, you know, when previous fasting that has been done, it is like, you know, a laborer who does hard work, and it is his wage given to him at the end of that time. So it is a time for us to really understand ourselves. That, have I really changed in the month of Ramadan?
Right.
I was all good. I was doing all ibadah, and now all of a sudden, how am I behaving on the day of Eid? I think that is the question for me personally.
MashaAllah. Beautiful answer. Alhamdulillah, we'll talk about this. But let's find out, what does it mean to you, brother Sahul?
Yeah, Eid for me is a time where we gather as family, as friends, as cousins, and it's where like we meet after Ramadan, after all the struggle, and we like celebrate. all the hard work we've done in and ibadah we've done in Ramadan. But since childhood, we've done it repetitive, so there's been no change. Just been going to each other's houses, eating nice food.
Dude, could you please also share your experience? What does it mean to you?
No, Eid, since I was a kid, really that changed my perspective of how Eid was. At first, I'd just be thinking, oh, Eid, it's time to get my monthly salary from like my uncle that I don't even remember. But as I grew older, I noticed that Eid isn't just about, I'm going to get food, I'm going to be getting money. It's more about the people that are actually like your blood relations. Mm. They are actually coming over maybe once every year. You get to meet them, you get to have fun with them, you get to speak about their life experiences, get some lessons out of them. And it's very like helpful.
MashaAllah. Respective views of Madani Sharia, you've heard what does Eid mean to each and every individual. Many things are common, but let's learn what is the religious perspective. When Mahadbhai, we look at the books, okay, what ulama have written, one of the reasons why Eid is celebrated, with the word Eid, especially Eid al-Fitr, it is from iftar. We do iftar, mean we do not fast on the day of Eid. Okay, and this is a sense of gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sense of celebration in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because throughout Ramadan, we have been following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been fasting, okay? We have been restricting what was not allowed and we were doing as per instructions given in Quran and teachings of Islam. And this is the day when we show happiness, we show rejoice, we show sense of celebration in a sense that because we have been able to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the granted ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reason why we become happy, we celebrate, because actually we have been able to do what was asked to be done. And further, a beautiful couplet my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlus Sunnah has written, Ba'de Ramazan Eid hoti hai. بعد رمضان عید ہوتی ہے رب کی رحمت مزید ہوتی ہے. So when we finish Ramadan, the sense of happiness is not because Ramadan has ended, right? That the fasting has ended and we are happy. No, the sense of happiness is more to do with the sense of shukr, the gratitude we are paying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, we have fasted, we have done the ibadah, we have done sujood, we have done qiyam, we have done taraweeh, right? We have done whatever you asked us to do. And it was your granted ability that we were able to do, okay? And this is the shukr on the day of Eid when we end. The most important bit is because we have been forgiven, inshallah. We have hoped this. We've got husna zan that we are forgiven throughout the Ramadan, the ibadah we have done, and on the day of Eid, praise, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the total number forgiven in Ramadan. And you know, in Ramadan, every iftar, 1 million were forgiven. And then on the Jum'ah, every moment 1 million were forgiven. On every moment of Jum'ah. Now you can imagine how many millions were forgiven in Ramadan. The total number is forgiven in the night, which is known Laylatul Ja'izah. That is forgiven. Allah. How important is the night of Eid itself? Okay, that night which is unfortunately celebrated differently. Okay, it differently means some people, they end up going to bazaar, marketplaces, waste their time. And inshallah, we'll also include that in our discussion. So in nutshell, what we understand from books from ulama, that this is the sense of gratitude. This is the sense of happiness we show in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have been able to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, even if we take it from another perspective, that's one perspective, gratitude. But we find, you know, for example, in the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on the day of Eid, people would hear from his house crying. Why is Sayyidina Umar, who is the second caliph of Islam, he's from the Ashram Mubashra, he's from his paradise, why is he crying? He says, هذا يوم العيد وهذا يوم الوعيد. He says, Eid, you know, this is a day of Eid, happiness, gratitude, celebration, but it can also be a day of wa'id, a admonition that if someone who's not given the due right to Ramadan, how can he celebrate on Eid? And you know, many of the pious elders, you know, they would, our pious predecessors, they would cry. And I think, you know, this is one notion which is within a lot of us, is that before Ramadan, or when Ramadan is starting, no more music, no more this, no more that. And that person knows that I'm just doing it for Ramadan. I'm just cutting this stuff out for the Ramadan, and after Ramadan, I'm going to do it again.
Allah.
And then they spend Ramadan without, you know, doing those sins. And then on the night, when the Eid is announced, then it, you know, it all comes out again. And it's like shaitan has been let loose.
Released, yeah. MashaAllah. Same point, you see. According to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, even according to Sayyidina Rasul Azim rahmatullahi ta'ala, we see this, see that, right? And we learn that for them, Eid, what actually Eid was, that if they have been able to perform Ibadah in Ramadan. Their sense of understanding was, if a person who has been able to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his roza, his fasting, siyam, they've been accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that individual is actually deserving of celebrating the Eid, the joy, the celebration. And further, Mahbubi, you also touched the point regarding, you know, when in Ramadan we had that sense of responsibility that we have to stop from sins. Okay, we have to save ourselves from sins. And another interesting fact is, in Roza, when we are fasting, whatever is halal, right, we abandon for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not eat what is halal. Okay, it is in front of us.
Normal days is halal.
It's halal, right? It's in front of us. We know even a child is at home alone, fridge and freezers, they are full. Food is there, drinks are there, he's thirsty, he's hungry. He can go and eat, but he doesn't. Why? Because he knows Allah is watching. Allah is watching. And he restricts himself from touching even something which is halal. Why? Because Allah has ordered not to do during this time frame. Now, this is the sense of responsibility or understanding we show during the month of Ramadan. So this is the practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Islam wants us to do, is that during Ramadan, when you can abandon what is halal upon the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is more important that in Ramadan and other than Ramadan, you should also abandon haram. Because Allah is watching, right, at all times, not only in Ramadan, other than Ramadan also. I would just ask Brother Hanif, so what are your observations, especially when it comes the end of Ramadan and the Eid is announced? You see, especially youth, we are talking to youth, and you've got your observations, you know, how do they behave? And what do you think, how should not they behave? Any observation you would like to share with us?
I think personally, on the night Eid is announced, there's a huge shift between like how people see how they should avoid haram. Like they're not as wary when they see haram when they leave the month of Ramadan. They're like a lot less disciplined to avoid that haram. They're a lot more leaning towards doing that haram, or maybe like just doing it anyways. Like, yeah.
Why do you think that is? What do you think? What's the reason for that?
I think it's a point of the fact that you're fasting, first of all. There's a lot of things that you should be protecting, because you're not only fasting, you're not only abstaining from food and stuff, you're abstaining from haram as well, not just halal in terms of food. So once they've left that, a lot of people don't voluntarily fast anyway, so they have left that state of fasting and they have forgotten to like be a slave towards Allah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You would like to add anything?
And also, the time where Eid is announced, people are already ready to commit the sins. Mm-hmm. So people already got their cars ready to go driving, to mess about. Everything's ready. They're just waiting for Eid to be announced for them to commit the sin.
Mm-hmm. Well, when do you think that, you know, in Ramadan, in what sort of time they're getting ready, you know, Eid is coming, so we're going to do this, they start planning. What do you think is causing that?
Well, in terms of modern youths, what I've seen is that for youths nowadays, Ramadan is just like something they have to do. Mm. It's not like, oh, they want to change. They'll just do. They'll just protect themselves from the sin because they have to. It's like a cyclical thing. It's not something that, oh yeah, Ramadan's here, it's time to change, and they're ready to change. They're ready to do the sins after Ramadan. They're just doing it just because they're Muslim and they have to.
It's like an annual burden.
Yeah.
You know, in Surah Baqarah, there's an incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Bani Israel, that they were constantly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will shower blessings upon them and they will you know, be ungrateful for that. And then what happened once is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that they were worshipping the calf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises the mountain of Tur.
Allah above their heads.
A mountain, they raise the mountain above their heads, and it's mentioned in the tafsir that there was a fire around them, so they couldn't run away. And there's a whole mountain suspended above their heads that if you do not believe, and if you do not accept, you know, even apparently, then we will, you know,
punishment will be there.
Punishment will be there. And so it is mentioned that they perform prostration, and then they perform prostration on one side, and they're looking up from the other side to see if the mountain is still there. And so they accept. But it's like in the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, we are not able to understand these messages of the Quran, and we are behaving in the same way. It's like a burden upon us. It's like the mountains upon us, or the punishment will come. Or rather, do you guys think that it's more, what will the people say? What will my parents say if I'm not fasting? Or if I begin to eat, or if I begin to drink, or if I do this and this sin, what will my parents say, rather than what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will it be His decision?
I think people have developed this thing where it's not a matter of they'll fail of Allah, like they'll fail of the unseen, they're more fearful of how people perceive them. So like if they see, let's say if they're like vaping and their mom catches them or something like that, then they're going to be like, oh, I got caught. But when they're like around the corner doing it, they're carefree as if Allah's not even watching.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
It's just that the youth, they don't feel scared about the punishments of the afterlife and all of that. Mm. They just care about the enjoyment of this life. So they're praying deen over dunya over deen, basically.
Hmm. I think it's that similar sense with, you know, Bani Israel. We need to understand that this day is a day of gratefulness to Allah for that. It doesn't mean that you have a different Allah now. It doesn't mean you have a different God now. It doesn't mean that Allah could see you before and now He can't see you. It doesn't mean that Allah could hear you before and now He can't hear you. Allah is always Sami, Allah is always Basir, Allah is Allah, He's always there. Wajibul wujud. And so we really need to understand as the youth, you know, especially in the West, that Allah is always, always watching us. And this day of Eid is not different in the sense that we have, you know, Allah doesn't see me anymore. We need to understand this concept.
One way of this, and another reason could be that the spirit of Ramadan is different. You see, Shaitan has changed. And then you've got more sense of, you see, responsibility and willingness to do total submission to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, sense of worship. And that spirit of Ramadan is different. People want to do ibadah, they want to go to masajid, they're inclined towards masajid. And that's something which keeps them alive, and that's the reason more people they are seeing in masajid, more people are worshipping. And as soon as Ramadan departs, so definitely that blessing which it contains, that also departs, and probably could be one of the reasons that people they shift towards the normal routine. But the reason why Ramadan comes is, this is what we need to understand, Yusuf Madani Shannon. Ramadan comes for us to give that sense of responsibility, and so that we can practice throughout this 1 month and we can carry on that spirit other than Ramadan, the 11 months also. Another important thing as a youth, I think we should understand, and those that are watching me, that we should have this sense of responsibility that we are Muslims, we are ambassadors of Islam. People will be attracted to Islam when they would see our behavior, our attitude, our conduct, the way we behave, the way we carry out ourselves. And there are less people they will read and they will accept Islam. But more people will look at us. They read you. They look at you, how you are behaving. Okay? If you see the history, by the Islam, the way it was spread, the businessmen, they traveled different countries and they took the teachings of Islam with them, their conduct, their fair dealings, right? Their honesty, their loyalty, and the way they used to deal with people fairly, and their honesty, that was something which inspired other people. And they said, these are the people, okay, what sort of religion they have, who has taught them this fairness, and that's why they were attracted to Islam. So people will be attracted towards deen through our conduct, through our behavior. Now look at this scenario. If on certain roads in London, you see youth is out, they have got no silencers in their cars, they have got, horns or
music on loud.
They are messing about. They are putting a noise pollution. They are blocking the people's way, blocking the traffic, okay, and causing nuisance, noise. And in other words, they're violating people's rights of people. Does Islam teach this? Not at all, right? Islam does not teach this, but through our behavior, we are showing that this is how we do celebrations. No, this is not the celebration the way Sahaba Ikram did, the way Awliya Allah did, the way Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam taught us. They taught us how to behave well and look after people's rights, fulfill others' rights. But this is what is not seen in certain areas. And I think the youth listening right now, we should change. And we should behave with this responsibility that we are the ambassadors of Islam. And people, they watch us, they see us, and they look within us Quran, and they look within us Sharia, and the way we should follow. And if we are doing opposite, definitely they will not be attracted, rather maybe they would go away from Islam. What would you say, Mahad Bhai, on this?
Yeah, I think we've taken the word enjoyment and we've given it a completely new meaning. You've caused an innovation in the definition of enjoyment, you can say. We think enjoyment is partying. We think enjoyment is dancing. We think enjoyment is music. We think enjoyment is giving the nafs whatever it desires. But I don't think that is a true definition of enjoyment. Enjoyment would mean, you know, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through those things which are permissible in Islam. Because we are Muslim. Muslim means we are submitted to a boundary set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think if we cross these boundaries, like, you know, you mentioned music and, you know, all of this stuff, people can say, everyone's enjoying. So why do you have a problem, Maulana? On TV, you're giving us a lecture here. Why do you have a problem with this? It's not about the problem. It's about the problem you will face tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Because you will have to answer for yourself. I will have to answer for myself. Why did I go about doing this when it was not allowed? Allah doesn't permit it. So how can you call it enjoyment?
Absolutely right. MashaAllah, Brother Noman has joined us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah. How are you?
Eid Mubarak to you.
Eid Mubarak to you as well.
MashaAllah. Again, one question from you, that what does it mean to you? What is Eid? Especially and as well as in your community. Okay, how do you celebrate? And you've got any childhood memories regarding that would you like to share with viewers of Madani Channel?
So childhood memories, obviously I remember, the only thing I can remember was me being happy to obviously get money and Eid and eat nice and dress nice.
Right.
But as I'm growing up, it's more, I'm upset that I'm leaving Ramadan behind.
Very good.
Because obviously Ramadan is a time where we reflect on ourselves and we improve ourselves. And I feel like as Muslims, as Eid starts, we slowly start drifting away from obviously doing more ibadah, reciting more Quran. So as I'm growing up, obviously, I feel like not so much happy now. Mm. And I'd rather stay in Ramadan and I get upset, you know. So the way we celebrate, obviously, wake up, shower, get clean, wear clean clothes. Obviously, we pray. And what we do as Afghans, well, mostly everyone, but Afghans, we like when we eat, we don't like eating alone. We make sure to invite everyone, all our brothers. So alhamdulillah, what my dad does, and so is my brothers, we're allowed to, you know, bring in as many guests as we want and make sure, you know, we all have this togetherness and we enjoy our food together and obviously, you know, communicate with each other. Everyone in Ramadan tends to, you know, just focus on themselves more and their relationship between Allah, they strengthen that. So obviously what we do is we enjoy the time together, and then we might go out and, you know, just eat nice food. And
very good. Respected Mirza Ahmad Ali Shahril, the brother, what he has just mentioned, togetherness, community cohesion, and you see, bringing families together, connectivity, relatives and coming together, eating together, sharing their you see, feelings and emotions. And this is what is the true spirit of Eid. And one more thing I would like to ask you, Brother Noman, that nowadays we see that people, those they are youngsters, youth, they are more connected with their friends, their social circle, or maybe with their social media friends, more on their physical friendships, okay? They give more time there. Even on Eid days, their parents, they feel loneliness, they are at home, they don't see their kids, their youth, okay, they just pray salah and then they leave, they come late, at home they are not seen. Do you think it is the true way of celebrating Eid, where you are neglecting your own parents, your relatives, your family, whereas you are more connected with your friends?
The way I see it was, I feel like obviously your family, they have more of a soft spot than obviously your friends. Me personally, what I do is when I come to pray, Salah for Eid, speak to my friends, catch up, but I make sure to return home. I have a personal experience in this Ramadan actually, is I had a trip and my friends were going. So the trip collided with obviously breaking the fast. And when I did come home, my mom was telling me like how much, like, she felt alone and how she missed me. And then after that, I was like to myself, like, I'm never going to make the mistake again of, you know, prioritizing something else, where I realize how much family actually means to me. And that's why I wouldn't want to upset my family. And
it's a very good example you share, your own experience, mashallah. But do you think that this is how the youth also do or think, or they do otherwise?
Of course, I feel like there's this, nowadays, this, the youth, they feel like they don't really, their parents don't understand them. And they feel like there's this segregation between the younger generation and the older generation. And obviously as a youth, you know, they want to feel heard of and understood. But I feel like it's the youth's responsibility to talk to your parents, see how they work. Because obviously there is a barrier between the generations. But I feel like we should prioritize the family more instead of the friends.
Just to add to that, I think that's very right. I don't think, you know, this mindset that you, mashallah, you've experienced, and you said that, okay, now I'm going to implement it. Now I'm not going to leave, you know, my parents alone at iftari or iftar. I don't think that we, the other youth, have understood this.
Okay.
Sometimes what happens is the son is late for iftar, and the parents, they say, look, you know, we've missed you. And he says, okay, and then he goes again. And it's just like repetitive, and he goes distant away from his family, and he goes closer and closer to his friends. And this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that the understanding, the essence of it is that a person will push away his father. And in the sharah of this hadith, it mentions a pious father. He will leave a pious father for sinful friends.
Allah.
And he will come closer, bring himself closer to his friend, and he will neglect his father, neglect, you know, his family, and those ties which are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect. He will begin to break those ties. Why? For his personal enjoyment. Oh, my parents don't understand me, my family don't understand me, I just want to have some good time. I can't have it at home, so I'm going to do it outside with my friend.
Very good. Brother, I would like to ask you this question, that do you think that these friends, they will stand by you when you will be in trouble and tough time, especially, or all of them they do, or what is the general perspective when you've got money, when you've got name or fame or something, and they are around you, but if you lose everything, who will stand by you, your parents or your friends?
Parents, obviously. Friends come and go every time, or family always stay together. That's why you should either prioritize to have a good circle.
But do you think the youth understands this?
I don't think the youth understand this. I would like to add on, if you have good friends, they'll encourage you to go see your parents. And I feel like where it starts off is, for example, you might be with your friends and your parents tell you come home. But then if it's a bad friend, they'll tell you, oh no, stay 5 minutes, 10 more minutes. And obviously, even if the child starts off good, just that bad company over time, it will just ruin their mindset. And If it's a good friend, they'll say, no, listen to your parents. Me personally, if one of my friends, for example, parents call them, I'll encourage them. I'll say, you know, listen to your parents, you know. It's obviously, inshallah, we can see each other another day, you know. So it's just, I feel like it's more the company on who you keep around you. And a real friend would tell you to listen to your parents, whereas like a bad friend would tell you, oh, it's not that bad, you know, just stay 5-10 more minutes. What's going to happen? Just stay, I don't know, stay you stuck in traffic, you know? So it's just the way I see it is, it's more so just company of friends that can, you know, just really mess up with the youth.
If you have a friend who is family oriented, you'll find that his friends are also family oriented. If you have someone who's self-centered, you will find his friends will also be self-centered and selfish. I remember when I was in school a couple of years ago, I was a bit messy, a bit disorganized. And one of my friends, he was very family orientated. And I remember visiting his house, and his house was very clean. And that naturally made me want to be more clean and more family orientated. I remember he used to go to Taraweeh, and my father wasn't here, he was abroad. And so he, his dad, his brother, his younger brother, they would come, they would pick us up every day, and they would take us to pray Taraweeh, drop us back home, and then they would go home together. And that really inspired, that this is how a family should be. Our family is a unit, and it should be like that, especially on the day of Eid, which is a day of happiness. We should remain together. And sometimes, you know, people feel shy to bring their friends over to meet their parents or their dad. They say, oh, my dad won't understand them, or my dad's a bit, you know, outdated. So, you know, even I was experiencing one of the brothers, his father would say to him, you know, bring your friends over, I want to meet them. And he would say no, because he knows what sort of friends he has. It's actually that. It's not the father's fault. It's a friend group that he has. So I think we should make those friends, you can present them to your parents. Dad, look, here's my friend.
Respect you, mashallah, beautiful discussion. You are watching Faith and Festivity Eid with a youth. You are listening their experiences, mashallah, the beautiful thoughts these brothers they've got, they're sharing. And one important thing what we learned from this discussion is that our parents, they must have more importance before us, right? When it comes to, compare them with our friends. There's no comparison at all. Friends, they've got their own status or standing, but at the same time, there's no comparison whatsoever with our parents. We should give them more time.
You know, you're saying that, and I'm thinking what the youngster will think. A youngster will think that, how dare he compare my friends to, and they're not going to say it like that, but that's what they think. When you find this, they will become defensive when it comes to their friends. When it comes to their parents, they won't become
Allah. This is the sad reality.
One thing I personally realized was, now that I'm in college, a lot of the friends that I had and I prioritized in year 11, now after I finished secondary, all of them have disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's when I sat down and I realized I put in time and effort into these people who are not even going to be there.
Yeah.
And now...
Very good example.
Now when I look at a friend, my mindset is, how would my dad think if he saw me with him? You know, would he give a good impression, bad impression?
Right.
And it's just also like little scenarios when I analyze how they act, you know? And it's just those little things that if they're good traits, most likely you're going to have that friend there for you for a long time. And I feel like obviously bad friends, however, they're just more temporary and a waste of time.
Excellent. Respect viewers of Madani Channel, our parents, they need our time. Okay. Some people, when the youth, they grow, they start earning, they think that we are providing our parents, we're giving them money, and that's enough. Okay, basic needs are important. Our parents, they sometimes need money also from us, but they don't just need money from us. They need compassion, they need empathy, they need sympathy, they need our time. Right? When you go home, sit down with them and buy some foods, cut fruit, or give them. See, when we couldn't talk, they made us talk. When we couldn't walk, they made us walk. When we couldn't clean ourselves, they cleaned us. Right? We are whatever we are today is because of our parents, not because of our friends, right? And this is what we need to understand, the value, the worth of our parents. They were with us when we couldn't walk, we couldn't talk, we couldn't clean, and they raised us up. And they will be with us when there will be no one with us. Okay, this is the true worth of our parents. There is no comparison whatsoever you can do with your parents. We need to understand their needs.
One topic I want you to bring close to youth, because the youth is trapped in, I know the time is short, but I think this will be very beneficial. You know, protecting the gays and the women and girls. I think this is a very important topic which we almost everyone avoids.
Especially on Eid.
I think it's very, very important that we come to this topic. So, you know, you mentioned with regard to prioritizing, you know, parents, they will always want their child to be better than them. But friends are, sometimes they are like that, and sometimes they are not like that. Sometimes the friends are the cause for committing great major sins. Sometimes a friend will offer you, you know, a cigarette or, you know, some drugs maybe, and that person falls into that. Or a friend will encourage the other one to go after a particular, you know, opposite gender, you know, encourage them to look at haram. Or encourage, you will find this common in schools. What do you guys think? Do you guys think it's the same?
Yeah.
That friends are encouraging looking at haram, especially, you know, with the opposite gender. What do you guys think about
that? So, obviously, I've seen it in college and school where people, like, these boys will get picked on. For example, people tell them, bad friends will say, oh, you don't get any girls, for example. And that leads that person to think maybe I'm ugly or something. And then it kind of makes
them, challenge them,
chases them. So then they can be like, well, they're telling, like, reassuring themselves, like, no, I'm not ugly. And yes, I can speak to girls. And I feel like that's just that one little comment of, for example, girls don't like you. It just makes the person think to themselves, you know, what am I doing that's wrong? And astaghfirullah, that's where I'd say mainly where it starts. Mm. Talking to the opposite gender. And that's how, I know, you'd say, that's your way of
being. Temptations, they come from your friends somewhere.
Yeah,
you see, if you've got a bad crowd around you.
And then that's how, like, they're seen as cool now, that they speak to girls. In fact, though, not speaking to girls, I would say it's more cool. You know what I mean?
Because it shows that you can control yourself.
Self-control, discipline, and I feel like that's what would separate.
Having good friends.
Separate a man from a boy. You know, the self-control is way more harder than speaking to a girl.
MashaAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Shil, you are watching Faith and Festivity. We heard beautiful thoughts of these brothers, their personal experiences also. Finally, I would like to bring one important point into discussion. Youth, they want to understand logic of different forms of worship or maybe any festives. So, I would like to ask one question from Mahadai. Eid. Okay, it doesn't only mean wearing good clothes or having feast or going to your relatives or inviting them or having fun or something like that. It's much more than that, definitely. There is so much involved what we are talking about that is also part of it. But there is one very important element in Eid al-Fitr is Sadaqat al-Fitr. Right? The reason behind Islamic teachings, you see, there is always a very great philosophy. And I think remembering the less fortunate, remembering those they are in need, remembering those they cannot celebrate well, remembering those in our mind that those they do not have those means to enjoy. Alhamdulillah, we've been blessed, we can enjoy, we're living in London, we've got so many blessings, okay, around us. But across the globe, there are people who are less fortunate. They don't have a meal to eat a day, right? They don't have clean water to drink, right? And there are people in war zones, right? And Allahu Akbar, how they are suffering, and you know better than me, and the world knows what's happening around us, okay? And how would they celebrate Eid? So there comes this charity, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to give out, to remember those. And we should give and in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sadaqatul Fitr. At the same time, more charity, the way we do in Ramadan also, Zakat and Sadaqatul Fitr, especially on the day of Eid. And again, the philosophy is to remember those that are in need. How important this is on Eid day?
It's very important. I think, you know, especially we mentioned celebrating Eid. If you celebrate Eid with your friends and you go out and you have a meal, that will be more expensive than if you were to come together and celebrate in your home. You have home-cooked food. One is better. Secondly, you save a lot of money. And also, what comes to my mind is that there are so many Muslims who are suffering around the world. You are part of the FGRF team, who is, you know, providing these charitable funds to all across the globe, alhamdulillah. And you will find that, as you mentioned, people don't even have a meal to eat. And we are eating burgers, and we are eating these huge steaks.
We waste a lot of food.
And we're wasting so much food. I just control myself a little bit for just one day. And I take that extra money and I give it to, for example, FGRF, so that they can give it to those who are more in need. Do I not think that, you know, where is my heart gone? Where is my emotions gone? Am I just so self-centered and so selfish? But giving Sadaqatul Fitr is very, very important, because it means that those that don't have enough to, you know, eat, they can at least have enough to eat on the day of Eid. And then if we add on to that, alhamdulillah, it's even better, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it.
What do you give a message regarding kindness and sharing with those who are especially less fortunate?
Ramadan has finished, and when we was fasting, most of us were thinking what we were going to eat today. And we had a wide selection. And it's so unfortunate that people in other countries back home, they don't even have a selection to pick. They don't even have anything to eat. And I feel like instead of worrying so much about ourselves, we need to keep in mind that we also have Muslim brothers and sisters. And Islam in itself is unity and caring for one brother and sister, you know? So I feel like we should be more considerate in not just pleasing ourselves, but worrying about all the other people. And just by a small gesture of giving them a meal, that's kindness. You know, that's showing that you care for them. And that's what Islam is.
Excellent. What do you think? Youth should have this mindset?
I think they should as well. Having this sense of like one ummah, we're all in this together. It would be really be helpful in like strengthening the ummah. Because like, if you're going to be going out eating with your friends, stuff like that, you'd be wanting that for people who are Muslim also around the world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should love for your brother what you want for yourself. And really, in essence of that, you shouldn't just be eating for yourself. You should be giving that little. You should be like sacrificing your own like expensive meal to eat with your family because of the selection of food and give out to charity.
My dear Islamic brothers, you are watching Faith and Festivity. I had wonderful brothers with me, mashallah, and I'm amazed to see their thoughts. Mashallah, the way they have shared their experiences, their thoughts, amazing. May Allah bless them, and may Allah give us tawfiq that we also think this way. And whatever message has gone across the globe from this platform, may Allah give us tawfiq that we act upon. We remember the less fortunate also. And we try celebrate Eid in its true letter and spirit, the way we should celebrate according to the teachings of Islam. Okay, the way it should be celebrated, we should do that way. And that's all for today. Keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Iman shines, our hearts take flight. It brings peace, love and light.
Faith and festivity. Faith and festivity.